That's the spirit.
With Professor Peter Lynham. Hello, Peter, you there?
I am here, thank you.
Mate, you're taking us to Malaysia today.
Malaysia and Brunei. You probably have seen the reports last week about Brunei chiefly deciding to stone or otherwise dispose of gay sex
and
offenders and adulterers.
How can you do that in the modern world? This is crazy that this is going on, that they've gone in that direction.
Why should we think that Brunei is part of the modern world? One has to understand, and this is the delicacy of the situation, that there are some countries where, you know, a dominant dictatorial type of government and a single religion gives a powerful force for control into the hands of the rulers and the religious authorities. And that seems to be what's been going on in Brunei. But what has struck me is that really a lot of these factors are very much paralleled in Malaysia, especially West Malaysia.
Because I've been to Malaysia and I found it to be quite a melting pot of religions. So what's the dominating buzz there?
So
Muslim? No.
This is a very interesting report from the International Committee of Jurists, a very, very highly respected body.
Right.
And it's exposed a whole tradition in which the dominant Muslim traditions have been bitterly hostile to other Muslim authorities, so to Sunni and especially to Al-Ma'ira type of, as a reform type of Islam, and also to other religious groups. And actually there's a New Zealand side to this connection, because a report has just come out in the last couple of days, and I think the source is through this work of the International Committee of Jurists. There was a Christian pastor who was trained here in Auckland at one of the theological colleges, went back to Malaysia 3 years ago and simply disappeared. And the pointers now are at the Malaysian police, having seized him and exterminated him, possibly.
that word again, exterminated. Whoa.
Well, I was trying to think of it, because he simply disappeared.
Right.
He simply vanished, and now the links all point to the involvement of the Malaysian police. And in this, I mean, really very, very clear report by the Committee of Jurists, they list a whole range of things. And this report came out last week, so it's very, very new. And its overall summary is that Malaysia, of course, this is hopefully going to change under the current Prime Minister, the very elderly Mahathir Mohamad coming back into position. It points out that there's constant arrests, harassments of people who just come above the margin a little bit too much in hostilities to Islam, especially if they try and convert people. Now, it's interesting because, as you say, I mean, I've visited Malaysia, and actually it is a...
There's all sorts going on there. So much going on.
Yes, that's right. And if
but a lot of Hindi people...
That's right. A significant Indian minority, a significant Chinese minority.
Epic temple, like all sorts of different types of temples.
Yes. So a very interesting and dynamic country. It's probably very... It's important to understand that in KL... Here you have a much more open society than the rest of Malaysia. And if you go out into some parts of East Malaysia, into the rural areas, the reports suggest that there's anything but openness. And then in West Malaysia, so that's in Sarawak and Sabah, which are right next door to Brunei.
Right.
Sarawak has a very significant Christian presence, which the government appears to be trying to at least deny human rights to. possibly going further to sort of reverse their stronghold and to ensure that they have no no political influence. It is really quite staggering what this report has said. Unconditionally release persons imprisoned on charges solely relating to the peaceful practice of their religion as protected under international human rights law. You know, they say this, you know, because there's lots and lots of people who get harassed and imprisoned. Now, I also know that there are plenty of people who practice quietly their religion, which is not Islam.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And are fine. But what it doesn't do is to rock the boat in Malaysia.
Now, I mean, will this report hold any weight? Will the Malaysian government even take it into consideration? Or is this, you know, just kind of an international working obviously pointing out the facts.
How up in the government is this kind of situation? You know, are they all leaning that direction? Or
in theory, the government has to in some ways contain the different racial groups of Malaysia, and they're certainly not excluded from voting. Typically, Chinese and Indians conduct the business in Malaysia, and Malays conduct the government in Malaysia plus rural areas. But we've got a lot of Malays in New Zealand whom I'm sure have got some interesting comments on this.
Right.
All I can say is, well, the International Committee of Jurists is a very, very respected body. And I was a bit startled, but then there have been some very disturbing trends in Malaysia until the change of government. And it's thought that the elderly Mahathir will give way to his deputy prime minister, who was the one who was arrested for homosexuality, you know, and trumped up charges, and that he will steer towards a more reformed approach. So maybe this report is very timely. Mm. Brunei, I don't think there's any hope of changing this in the short term, because it's, in effect, an exclusive state run by a Maharaja with, you know, a sultan with very, very significant powers. The one concern is the New Zealand government is pretty much in cahoots with the Brunei government.
Well, look, Peter, I'm just going to say one thing. I'm going to go cha-ching. I've probably got heaps of cash, so we just got to be nice to them, all right?
Yeah.
is there anything we can do as a New Zealander to, you know, kick up a bit of fuss about this, saying, hey, why is our government in cahoots with a government which is...
Love that word, by the way.
Just being bastards, really.
Well, not that word. Not buzzing on that.
Yes, I think that's a very relevant question to ask, and I'm pretty certain.
How much oil do we get from them?
There you go. John's starting to get that hat on. It's like, sinister hat.
It's part of a defence cooperation agreement. Mm. It's the way in which it's worked. And so various New Zealand universities have been involved in training the military, for example, and various other connections, assisting their education, providing scholarships. All these things have happened for Brunei. Mm. In Malaysia, of course, there's an enormous connection between Malaysia and New Zealand, and that tends to be
palm
to broaden Malaysia and to give them a perspective on a wider world. I don't think that's the case in Brunei.
Yes,
it's very selective, the sorts of people who get the assistance.
Mm. Oh, food for thought, Peter.
Always.
Thank you very much for taking time out of your afternoon to speak to us here on Monday Drive on BFM.
And if you could block out the same time next week, Peter, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
I will look forward to that. Cheers, very good.
Thank you.
With Professor Peter Lydon.